Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. We welcome once again to the program Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Never a Shortage of Arizona Laws, especially, when the legislature meets you, there'll be hundreds of new laws, I'm sure, every time. Estate Planning in Arizona is Don's other book, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the Arizona ballot measures. They're always a very interesting when you look at the kind of the diversity of some of these measures. Well, we've got 10 of them that voters will decide on.
We do. And that's not an unusual number, by the way. Of the 10 measures that will be on the November 8th ballot, 8 of them were referred by the legislature. That's one way that an initiative makes it to the ballot. And 2 of them were citizen initiatives. In other words, the petitions contained enough signatures to get the measure on the ballot. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting, especially in our state, how that works, because it really depends on the nature of the initiative as to how many signatures are required. So start with the proposition that you look to the number of votes cast for the governor in the last election. Okay. You use that number to determine how many signatures are required for constitutional amendments, and that would be 15% of the votes cast for the governor in the last election. Mm-hmm. So in 2022, that's roughly 356,000 signatures.
That's a lot of signatures.
Oh, yeah, yeah, by anybody's measure.
Yeah.
If you're seeking to change a statute or to add a statute, then the number of signatures is 10% of the votes cast in the last gubernatorial election for governor. And that number in 2022 is roughly 237,000. So even if you're going with the lower percentage, you're still needing about 250,000 signatures on your petition to qualify your initiative to make it to the ballot. And as I mentioned, in the upcoming election, there are 2 initiatives that were started by the citizens, and the Secretary of State has certified the petitions as containing the minimum number of signatures required. There have been some initiatives that appeared to have contained the minimum number, but through legal challenges, it has been determined that they did not, and those initiatives are not going to appear on the ballot.
And one of those we covered yesterday with former Attorney General Terry Goddard, that's the so-called dark money initiative, and Terry's been pushing for this thing for six years, and he got enough signatures and got past court challenge, and it's on the ballot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and also interesting, at least in my mind, is the number of initiatives that don't make it. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in the last election, which was in 2020, there were 39 ballot initiatives filed, but only 2 were certified. That's
really
about a 5% rate.
Yeah.
On average, there are about 6% of the ballots filed that become certified, but it still amounts to only a couple of citizen initiatives every election. And in fact, consistent with that average, we have 2 citizen initiatives on the upcoming ballot.
What about this one for a lieutenant that would create a lieutenant governor position in the state of Arizona? Where did that come from? That was not a citizen initiative.
No. That was not. That was referred by the legislature. That is Proposition 131. And as I think most of your listeners understand, there are 2 ways to get on the ballot. One is through a legislative referral, and the other one is through a citizen initiative. On this ballot, there are 8 legislative referrals, and Prop 131 is one of the 8. So under this measure, if it's passed, Arizona will join 45 other states that have lieutenant governors. So currently, Arizona is one of only 5 states that doesn't have a lieutenant governor. So what is a lieutenant governor? Well, as the name suggests, it's a elected official who takes over if the governor dies, resigns, or is removed from office. Right now, we don't have a lieutenant governor, and in fact, if the governor is unable to serve, then the Secretary of State, which is a separate elected office, becomes governor.
As has happened in my some 30 years in the state, it's happened a couple of times.
Well, in the history of the state, it's happened 6 times.
Has it really? Six?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not an uncommon occurrence.
No.
Now, the interesting thing is you can have a representative from another party succeed a governor who dies, is removed, or is incapacitated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Under this proposal, the governor and the lieutenant governor would run on a joint ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be members of the same party, and the succession would not, under any circumstance, change party affiliation. So you wouldn't go from, instance, a Republican governor to a Democrat governor because of the governor's death or incapacity.
Mm-hmm.
You would go from a Republican to a Republican in that hypothetical. So if this measure passes, and it just requires a simple majority, then Arizona will have a lieutenant governor, which will function for all intents and purposes as, you know, essentially, if it were a president, it'd be a vice president.
Is there a role for this person other than just kind of a governor in waiting?
Well, that's an interesting question. If this measure passes, then the legislature will determine what the duties of the lieutenant governor will be.
Hmm. Voter ID is going to be on the as a measure, correct?
Yes. So this seems to be kind of a hot button issue. This was another legislative referral. This is Prop 309, and it concerns both mail-in ballots and in-person voting. And as we've spoken of on other shows, about 90% plus voters do it by mail. So mail-in is by far and away the way that most people vote.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, and I'm sure you know this from voting by mail, all you need to do is really sign the envelope.
Yep.
Put it in the mail, your vote counts. Under Prop 309, that would change. And it would make it, I think, by most analyses, more difficult to vote by mail because you would be required to add 2 new pieces of information. In addition to having your affidavit, which we currently have, you would have to include your date of birth, and you'd have to have a voter ID number. And you'd have to include that information on your mail-in ballot in order for it to count. The voter ID number would either be the number on your driver's license or government-issued ID card, or it would be the last 4 digits of your Social Security number. Currently, it's really easy to vote by mail. Under Prop 309, if it passes, it's going to be a little more difficult to vote by mail. And as I mentioned, more than 90% of all voters vote by mail because it's so convenient.
Sure.
Prop 309 would also change the way that people vote in person. Currently, a voter is able to present either a photo identification or, if the voter doesn't have a photo ID, 2 pieces of non-photo identification as an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this would be like a utility bill or vehicle registration or something like that. Under this proposal, a voter would need to present a form of photo ID while voting in person, and there would be no exception for 2 pieces of non-photo identification. So every voter would be required to present either a driver's license or a government-issued ID at the polls in order to be eligible to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So Prop 309 would add additional requirements to both mail-in voting and also in-person voting. And the last thing I want to say is that most of the states have some form of voter ID required at the polls. In fact, 35 states require identification. So Arizona isn't outside of the norm with regard to requiring identification, but 309, I think, increases the type of information that's required in order to cast a ballot.
We have time for one more, Don Luce.
Well, let's talk about another measure which will be on the ballot. This one is a citizen initiative, so they required the, you know, quarter of a million signatures necessary to get it on.
And those are the valid signatures. So
that's right.
If you want to get on the ballot, you better have like maybe 100,000 buffer or something.
Now, this is really, it's quite interesting by reason of its scope and also the subject matter. It would cap interest on medical debt at essentially 3%. So if you have a bill from a healthcare provider and you're being charged 12% a year, on the balance, under this proposal, you couldn't be charged more than 3% a year.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that would, I think the thinking is that would make medical bills easier to pay if you're not constantly fighting a high interest rate.
Right.
But the measure does more than that. And when I said earlier that I think it's interesting by reason of its scope, this is what I mean. It protects real property and personal property from claims of creditors more than the existing law does. So, for instance, everyone who owns a home in Arizona that they use as their primary residence has a homestead exemption. Mm-hmm. And that is an amount of equity that no creditor can touch. Mm-hmm. So you can file bankruptcy, and as long as your equity doesn't exceed the homestead exemption amount,
they
you get to keep
take your home.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. That's currently $150,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Under this initiative, that would be raised to $400,000.
Mm.
So that's nearly a threefold increase in the amount of equity that Arizona residents can retain in their home, and the creditors are not able to touch it for payment of judgments and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It would also increase other types of personal property, household furnishings from $6,000 to $15,000, motor vehicles from $6,000 to $15,000, and money in banks from $300 to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this citizen initiative, mm-hmm. which is going to be on the November ballot, does two things. Caps interest rates on medical debt and also increases substantially the amounts for exempt property that citizens can keep, even if they have creditors with judgments or other forms of liens or attachments.
Okay, good information. Let's do some more of them for your October visit. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right. Don Luce of Luce Law Group offices in Tucson and Phoenix, author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books, very popular, both in their second printing. Don, hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right. We're going to do it right there. We'll be back in 23 hours with our Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of